Father, we pray that you would come and anoint your word and open our eyes and ears. And everybody said, okay, I'm going to share something really unique this morning. This is a Sunday school type topic, and it's entitled, What Will the Millennial Reign Be Like? Okay? If y'all are not familiar with the millennial reign, we're told in the scriptures in many places that the millennial reign is going to be a 1,000-year period where Jesus Christ reigns literally, physically, from Jerusalem. Okay? Now, I'm not a big dogmatic about end-time events. There's arguments on one side or the other. Whether he reigns from the physical Jerusalem or the new Jerusalem, I don't really know. It may be that the new Jerusalem will be here prior to or subsequent to the millennial reign. I don't know. There's arguments on both sides. But in either case, Jesus is going to reign from Jerusalem. Would y'all agree with that? For 1,000 years. Well, I want to look, y'all got your Bibles. We're going to look at a bunch of places in Scripture. Turn to Revelation 6. I'm just going to lay some principles down about the millennial reign right out of the Word. It's really going to surprise you that there is a lot in Scripture about that 1,000-year reign. I mean, specific stuff that you wouldn't even think. Well, Revelation 6:8, it says, I looked and behold a pale horse, and his name that was sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. And was given, power was given over them to, over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with sword and hunger and death with the beasts of the earth. Now look at Revelation 9:18. We're just going to jump into these verses. By these three was the third part of men killed, by fire and smoke and brimstone which issued out of their mouths. Suffice it to say, at the beginning of the millennial reign, the population of the earth will be drastically reduced. Okay, we see here in Revelation, a fourth part of the earth is going to be killed by certain plagues and judgments. Subsequent to that, you only got three quarters left. A third of them are going to be killed. And then you see even more slaughter and murder in the end as the bold judgments of God are poured out. So the point is that not a whole lot of people are going to be left. And look at this verse, Zechariah 14:16. He literally says, those that are left. Zechariah, we're talking about the end of the seven-year tribulation, the judgment of Antichrist, the battle of Armageddon. In Zechariah, which is the second last book in the Old Testament, Zechariah 14:16 says, and it shall come to pass, look at this, that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year. So he's making a point, those that are left. In other words, there's going to be a lot of people destroyed, a lot of people come under judgment. There are going to be some left. Revelation 7, don't turn there, even there talks about the 144,000 that were sealed unto the millennial reign. And again, there's argument about what that is, but the bottom line is, it's going to, the population to commence the millennial reign will be drastically reduced from the population today. I think there's 6.5 billion people on the earth today. So it's easily going to be the case that significantly less than that will begin the millennial reign. Now, I want to look at some, I'm going to go through this fast. Y'all mind? All right, we're going to go through it fast. I hate teachings that drag on. You know. Revelation 20, verse 1, let's look at some blessings of the millennial reign. First of all, we talked about the population of the millennial reign. It's going to be drastically less than today. The blessings. This is a wonderful one. Revelation 21. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold on the dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil, Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Cast him into the bottomless pit, shut him up, set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years were fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed. But one of the blessings of the millennial reign is that Satan and all his demons will be bound. That demons will be frozen in their ability. All the territorial spirits, spiritual powers, entities, ruling dominions and authorities in heavenly and high places will all be bound. Satan himself and all of his minions will be bound and tied up and have no more right to deceive the nations. I wrote here, tragedies, horrors, terrors, evil, curses, cruelties, casualties, darkness, temptations, enticements, voices of accusation, guilt, shame, perversions, abnormalities, all of these things will be bound. The temptation forces will be bound so that it'll be difficult for people to fall into these things because the tempter will be bound. Okay, the potential for sin will still be there in the millennial reign with the mortals that live. Okay, there will be. I'm going to show you that. But it'll be significantly less because the tempter will be bound. The curse of sickness will be removed. Isaiah 35:5. Seth, we're talking about the millennial reign. 35:5. We're just jumping through verses here. In fairness, I'm not reading the context, but you can study it later. The context, talk about the millennium. 35:5, the eyes of the blind will be open. The ears of the deaf will be unstopped. 35:6. Then the lame man will leap as a hart. The tongue of the dumb will sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams of death. Of course, that was applicable to Jesus' ministry, but the context of the passage is referring to the reign of the millennium. We're talking here, Rick, about the what will the millennium be like? So listen, first of all, the sickness will be removed from the earth. The blind eyes, the deaf ears, the lame will walk. We're literally told, well, look at this, Ezekiel 47, there'll be a place to go to get healed. Ezekiel 47. Now again, the earth will be composed of mortals. We don't think of that, but the millennial reign, there'll be millions, possibly billions of mortals that will live and die during the millennial reign. Now those of us who are privileged to attain the life to come will have glorified bodies and we'll be regents and co-rulers over the millennium. Ezekiel 47. But the earth will be filled with mortals. Okay? And so when someone on the earth is sick, there's a place they can go. And it's not a doctor or a chiropractor. Ezekiel 47:6. And he said unto me, Son of man, has you seen this? And he brought me, he caused me to turn to the brink of the river. By the way, this whole chapter is about the millennial reign. It's an amazing chapter. There's a lot in Ezekiel that talks. There's more in Ezekiel about the millennial reign than anywhere else in the Bible. He said, now when I'd return, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other. Then said unto me, these waters issue out to the east country. Now stop right there. Revelations, the last chapter, talks about the trees on both sides of the river that flowed out from the throne. It's the same picture. And the trees, if you look at Revelation, I think it's 21, it says, were for the healing of the nations. Okay? And you don't have to turn it. It was Revelations 22:1. And I literally, Old Testament picture of Revelation, that there will be trees with the leaves for the healing of the nations. Whether people are going to have to literally come to the river, pull a leaf down, or whether they manufacture the leaves and disperse them around the world, I don't know. But the point is, the trees that flow next to the living waters out of the throne will be sufficient to heal. Diseases, I put here plagues, malfunctions, sicknesses and wounds, bruises and breaks, all be have ability to be healed in the millennial reign. The climate will be changed. Look at Isaiah 51:3. The very climate on the planet. I believe something significant will occur on the planet during the millennial reign. That'll be that all the hurricanes and travesties and earthquakes and floods and all these things will stop and cease during the millennial reign. Isaiah 51:3, for the Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. He will make her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found therein. Thanksgiving. There are many other passages. I'm going to hit some poignant passages about the millennial reign when Christ rules over the earth. The very climate, in fact, literally, we're said that the sun and the moon will no longer lighten the earth, but the Lord will be the light thereof. Now, again, that's what I tend to lean on, the fact that the New Jerusalem will be existent prior to the millennium, and you will see the rising, possibly, of the New Jerusalem in the morning rather than the sun. Now, again, there's no dogmatism here, but I like to believe that it's going to be the whole universe will be restructured differently. Now, some people believe, well, that happens at the millennial reign when he gives a new heavens and new earth. There's arguments on both sides, okay, both legitimate. But needless to say, the bottom line is the millennial reign will be significantly different in a climate sense when we reign with Christ. Deserts will blossom. The Dead Sea will be healed. Isaiah 47 says the Dead Sea will have full of fish. And the fishermen will fish from the Dead Sea. I wrote here, seasons, apparently, well, harsh seasons will be eliminated. Farming, there's fishing going on, there's transportation. There'll be transportation in the millennial reign. There's a number of passages about that. I'll give you some. Zechariah 14:6 talks about, we're talking about the mortals. Let's see. 14, I can't read my own notes. Hang on a minute. I just was looking at it. Yeah, 14:16. So then they'll come to everyone that's left of all the nations shall go up from year to year to Jerusalem. You know, obviously they're going to be... in fact, Isaiah, the last passage, talks about the transportation they'll go on. Isaiah 66:20, and they will You shall bring all your brethren for an offering to the Lord of all nations upon horses and chariots, litters, and upon mules and swift beasts. They'll come to my holy mountain. So in other words, he's describing, you know, all these different means of transportation, obviously in Old Testament types, but people are going to, there'll be some kind of transportation system. The curse will be reversed. Look at this. All created things will be regenerated. Romans 8:19. Everything that's created on the planet, something's going to happen all the way down to the molecular level of everything on the planet. He says in Romans 8:19, for the earnest expectation of creation, is a little rendering, waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. For creation was made subject to vanity. That was at the fall. If you recall, the creation was cursed. The ground was cursed, remember? Originally, the ground was not cursed till man sinned. But not willingly, but by reason of him who subjected the same. But the creation itself will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and travails. All creation is waiting for the manifestation of the second coming of Jesus Christ ruling on earth and his co-regents ruling with him. And somehow it's going to affect creation. Let me show you how significantly so. Isaiah 11:6. Tells us it's going to affect creation in such a way, I believe there'll be no more crabgrass, no more spiders, praise God, fire ants, well, they won't have the fire. Okay, in fact, what's amazing in this, Isaiah 11, it's going to even affect the creatures. Isaiah 11:6, the wolf will dwell with the lamb. Now, you know, Scripture talks about the shepherd needs to watch out for the wolves who are going to come against the sheep. The wolf and the lamb are going to sleep together. Y'all ever heard about the lion and the lamb? Isaiah 11:6. Well, it really doesn't ever say lion. It says wolf and lamb. At least King James says, the leopard will lie down with the kid, the calf and the young lion and the fatling, and a little child shall lead them. There's a little kid leading all these ravenous, carnivorous beasts. And it even gets better. The cow and the bear will feed. You know, you don't think of a cow and a bear together, do you? I mean, cow out in the field, bear in the woods. But they're all going to be, here's this, herbivorous. There'll be no more carnivorous, no more meat-eating. Do y'all know when meat-eating occurred, when the actual eating of meat occurred? It was subsequent to the flood. Oh, okay. Well, apparently we're going to go back to our herbivorous, so the young ones will lie together, and the lion, look at this, will eat straw like the ox. Okay, so the desire in these beasts to eat meat will be gone. The lion will subsist by straw, and the sucking child will play on the hole of the asp. Can you imagine a little baby just playing around with the little snake viper thingies? You know, look, daddy, you know, sticking his hand in the asp hole, in the hole of where the vipers and the snakes, what other, in cobras. Yeah. And the weaned child will put his hand, and King James reads the cockatrice den, but the margin reads the adder's den. What is an adder? That's a vicious snake. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. Look at this. For the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters come to sea. Now, if you think about this and meditate on this, the change would be such, it'll all be down to the molecular level. Even a beast's desire and appetite will change and shift. You understand? It's such a significant change. And the earth will be filled with God's glory like the waters cover the sea. Think about if you walked around on the bottom of the ocean. You walked around. Water is everywhere. Everything you see and feel and touch and think and conceive and sense is water. That's how the glory of God will be on the earth. It'll affect everything. That's the millennial reign. Death will be reduced, though not fully destroyed. Here are two verses. 1 Corinthians 15:24. Death will be reduced, but not fully destroyed during the millennial reign. 1 Corinthians 15:24. Then comes the end. Again, I'm jumping in quick. A lot of verses. When he shall have delivered the kingdom to God, even the Father. When he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. And then he says, the last enemy that will be destroyed is death. You know, do y'all know when death is destroyed? itself? Right. The great white throne judgment, death and hell are thrown into the lake of fire. Okay. So death ceases to exist, but death is still prevalent during the millennial reign. And I'll show you a verse about that. In Isaiah 65, we actually see death in the millennial reign. Isaiah 65:20. You don't think about those kinds of things, but there will be mortals on the earth. Guys, I'm just jumping all over the Bible today. You wouldn't believe how much there is in the Bible on the millennial reign. It's a significant, in fact, you know, even the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Do you know what kingdom he was referring to? The kingdom of God on earth. The time when Jesus Christ will finally fulfill all the promises and rule from Jerusalem for 1,000 years. But look at this, Isaiah 65:20. There'll be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that's not filled his days. In other words, nobody's going to die young. For the child will die, well, they will die young, but a child will die 100 years old. Isn't that interesting? 100-year-old man, that's like a child dying. But the sinner, being 100 years old, will be cursed. Now, isn't that interesting? There'll still be sin going on. It'll be not as prevalent because the demons are bound. And they'll build houses and inhabit them. Okay, there'll be construction going on. Isn't that interesting? They'll plant vineyards. There'll be farm and agriculture going on. Eat the fruit of them. They will not build and another inhabit. They will not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. He's talking about the mortals and the nation of Israel. Isn't that interesting? For it's the days of a tree. Hello? I guess there's some average length of a tree. I don't know. But there are there are some trees that have been around for over a millennium. I think those great massive trees in California. And they even found some olive trees that they believe have been around since about the time of Christ in Jerusalem. So the point is, he's saying, and I really believe about as far as the length of years, that we will return to the prediluvian cycles of about 1,000. Remember, it's 1,000-year reign. And prior to the flood, men lived hundreds and hundreds of years. You know? In fact, it was Noah's grandfather, Methuselah, lived longer than anybody else, almost 1,000 years. And I have a certain belief system of why that is. Don't want to be dogmatic. But I'm of the belief that the earth was covered with some kind of a shroud. And it was all kind of like a paradise, like a steam house, a greenhouse. And it never rained, see? But mist came up from the earth. And it was the rain of Noah's flood that finally broke the shroud, sort of like over Venus, and began the cataclysm of the weather systems. And somehow the ultraviolet rays began to affect and shorten men's lives. There's a lot of belief about that. But it didn't happen right away, because you can see subsequent to the flood, men slowly and gradually, the lifestyles, the lengthening years began to decrease over many, many, many generations. To finally, it settled. Well, there was Abraham lived to be 125. But by the time of David or Moses, Moses wrote in Psalm 90 that the length days should be 70 by reason of strength 80. So God kind of settled out at about 70 or 80. Okay, let's look at the millennial government now. Micah 4. So we've looked at the length of the millennial reign, the blessings of the millennial reign. Satan will be bound. The curse of sickness will be removed. The climate itself will be changed. All created things will be regenerated, all the way down to the molecular, the cellular basis of animals and creatures. The sons of God will be gloriously rejuvenated into new bodies. Did you know that there's a passage that says that that you can thrust them through and they will rise up again? Did you know there's a verse that says you would stab someone with a sword and they'll get right back up and keep walking? I can show you those verses. And that, to me, speaks of the glorified body. That there will be an army of God, those that have glorified bodies, even though someone thrusts you through, no big deal, you just get up and keep walking. Remember, Jesus was able to walk through walls, and we'll have that kind of a body. In fact, I'll give you that. If I have time in the end, I'll show you where that verse is. But Jerusalem will be capital of the earth, Micah 4:1, during the millennial reign. But in the last days, it will come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established in the top of the mountains, and it'll be exalted above the hills, and the people will flow into it. Isn't this interesting? Jerusalem, now again, whether it's the New Jerusalem or the city of Jerusalem, I can show you a verse that shows the city of Jerusalem was on the sides of the north of Mount Zion. Okay, remember he says in Psalm 48, the sides of the north? He talks about keep your finger there. Psalm 48, beautiful for situation, joy of the holy earth. Is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king? And you actually see where the city is on the sides of the north in Ezekiel. Hold on. Well, I didn't finish with Micah, did. Micah 4, he's talking about here, and many nations will come and say, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, the house of God of Jacob. He'll teach us his ways. We'll walk in his paths. For the law will go forth out of Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. In other words, the center of the government of the earth will be from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among many peoples, rebuke strong nations afar off. There'll be nations that will rebel against the rule of Jesus. In fact, he says that in the last chapter of Zechariah, that a nation that does not come up yearly to the feast of the tabernacles, he will send them no rain. He'll say, that whole nation doesn't get rain because they didn't send emissaries to the feast of tabernacles. Isn't that fascinating? And it curses. So there's going to be a requirement of the nations to come. And he says, and they'll beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. They'll have great disarmament conferences that will work. They'll come together for disarmament, and it will work because Jesus will say it will work. And his emissaries will rule, it says in Revelation, with an iron rod. Okay? No rule, no need for nukes. You have co-regents that can travel at the speed of thought, ruling the earth. Crowbars, right. Look at this. And spears, and nation will not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. But they will sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none will make them afraid. For the mouth of the Lord is spoken. Isn't that interesting? The millennial reign is basically a time of peace. Do y'all know the Old Testament? There's a perfect Old Testament reign that was a type of the millennial reign. Do y'all know who I'm talking about? There was an Old Testament king. His entire reign was actually a shadow or prototype of the millennial reign. Ding! Solomon. Solomon's reign, fascinating enough, he sat as king. Kings from all over the world came to see him, and there was total peace, apparently, during Solomon's reign. Okay, Solomon is a type of the millennial reign. Psalm 72, I believe, is a fascinating psalm that describes, in a way, Solomon's reign and the coming millennial reign. Okay, I was going to show y'all a little hidden verse you probably never saw about the city on the sides of the north. This is why I think the glorious city will be there at the rule at the prior to the millennial reign because of this one little obscure verse in Ezekiel 40. In the visions of God, verse 2, God brought me to the land of Israel. Now, he's actually, in the latter chapters of Ezekiel, he's actually getting visions of the millennial reign. It's fascinating chapters. I don't have time to go through it this morning. But he set me on the land of Israel and set me upon a very high mountain by which was as the frame of a city on the south. Apparently, from where he was standing, it was on the south. But from the center of Jerusalem, or the present city, it was from the north. Turn to chapter 48:15. And the 5,000 that are left in the breadth over against the 5,000 and 20,000 shall be a profane place for the city, for dwelling for suburbs, and the city will be in the midst of. Anyway, without spending much time on that, I really believe that apparently the city of Jerusalem that exists now, apparently a mountain. He actually describes there'll be some kind of land shift, and a mountain will grow right up where Jerusalem is right now. We're actually told that the land will lift itself up in Zechariah chapter 14. Okay, it will lift itself up, and when there'll be this mountain form. In fact, I'll show you that Zechariah 14, verse 10, verse 9. Some kind of cataclysmic earthquake. You ever heard of how these volcanoes, a mountain will rise right up out of the sea? Well, apparently that's going to happen right under Jerusalem. Zechariah 14:9, and the Lord will be king over all the earth. In that day there will be one Lord and his name one. Would you agree this is the millennial reign, right? Now notice this. And all the land will be turned as a plain. from Geba to Rimmon, south of Jerusalem, and it'll be lifted up and inhabited in her place from Benjamin's gate to the first gate. Hey, under the corner of it, da-da-da-da, and men will dwell in it. So if you look at this, he's literally said the land is going to be lifted up. And what I believe is going to happen, some kind of mountain, and the city that exists right now is going to be on the sides of the north. Those are those two verses there. It's kind of going to be in the side, because I think on the pinnacle of the city will be the New Jerusalem. Okay, that's my 2 cents in that belief. Not worth building a doctrine over. Not worth breaking off a denomination. You know, well, we believe that Jerusalem... we separate us. No, this is just my 2 cents. I like to look at these things. During the millennial reign, not only will be earth cataclysmic events, shiftings, but Christ will be king and the theocracy is the rule of law. Daniel 2:44. Do y'all know what theocracy is? Right. Theocracy, theo is God from the Greek. It means God ruling. Right now we're trying democracy. Democracy. You know what Winston Churchill said about democracy? Famous statement. He says, democracy is the worst form of government there is, except it's better than anything else. On the earth, we've tried monarchies, democracies, socialism, communism, dictatorship, military rule. But when Jesus comes, he's going to set up a theocracy. Guess what? That's the way man was created. That was the original plan was for Jesus to rule. A benevolent. They really say the greatest form of government ever is a benevolent dictatorship. When you have one king who is benevolent, loves his people, that's the best kind. The problem with democracies, they work to a degree except until you have a minority that can exert its authority beyond its ability and rule. And when a minority rules, it messes what we see going on in our country. Democracies aren't perfect. Daniel 2:44, this is the rule. And it says, and in these days, the days of these kings, this is the 10-nation conglomerate that will come together during the reign of Antichrist. And in the days of these kings, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. Look at this. That's the kingdom to come. That's the millennial reign, which will never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to the people. It'll break in pieces, consume all these other kingdoms, stand further. In other words, this is going to be finally a kingdom ruled by a king. Theocracy will be the rule of law. Now, I'm going to give you all some... There's like... We're going to quick turn to Psalms. We're going to just really quick run. I'm going to give you some Psalms that talk about the millennial reign. Psalm 9... Psalm 10, I'm just going to throw these out. Psalm 24 talks about the millennial reign. Psalm 45, Psalm 46, that's the millennial reign. He makes wars to cease into the end of the earth, breaks the bow, cuts the spear in sunder. Psalm 48, the sides of the north. Psalm 50, Psalm 65, each one of these talks about it. Psalm 72, that's the wonderful psalm that every single verse has to do with, I believe, a mirror of Solomon's reign and the millennial reign. Really, Psalm 72 has got to be the most beautiful picture of the millennial reign in the Bible. In fact, let's turn there, Psalm 72. Just a few more verses here. He says, verse 2, he'll judge your people with righteousness, your poor with judgment. The mountains will bring peace to the people, the little hills by righteousness. He'll judge the poor of the people. He'll save the children by the needy and break oppressors. Verse 5, they'll fear thee as long as the sun and moon endure throughout all generations, etc., etc. Verse 7, in his days the righteous will flourish, abundance of peace as long as the moon. Verse 8, he'll have dominion from sea to sea. So again, this whole psalm is about the reign of the millennium. Then I go on Psalm 96, 97, 99, 100, 110, 113, 118, 146, 147, 148. And here's, look at Daniel 7:27. Christ will rule, but through regents. He will not rule himself. He'll rule through co-regents. I believe that's the glorified saints. We're told that in Revelation 3, that one of the rewards of the overcomers is they shall rule and reign with me and sit with me in my throne. Daniel 7:27 says, going fast here. What is that? And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom and of the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. Isn't that interesting? Whose kingdom is an everlasting king. So the kingdom of Christ will be given to the people of the saints. It's going to be ruled by co-regents. And many places in Scripture we're told about the prowl. Let's see, Luke 19, Matthew 24. You know, if you're faithful with what God's given you, he's going to give you rule over, what, 5 cities, 10, this kind of thing. Many, many places. The reward will be your authority. I really believe the degree you walk in humility here is the degree you walk in authority there. The degree you were faithful here with a little, God will give you much there. And right now, we are determining our ultimate destiny for eternity. I mean, that's kind of scary, but right now, your faithfulness and what Jesus has said to you, your faithfulness, or how you're obedient to him in your conscience every day, you're determining your ultimate destiny. And one day on the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema seat, described in 2 Corinthians 5 and many places, that I will have a judgment too. It'll be different than the Great White Throne judgment. This will be a judgment of rewards. You know, and unfortunately, many of us are going to get there, but we saved us by fire. You know, we got a job, but it's not going to be the job we would have had. Yeah, that's going to be the worst thing, to find out what you could have had, but you didn't have because you didn't quite max it. What a disappointment. Amen? I mean, Samuel, he's chosen you, dude, to be a ruler of continents. You know, whole continents, man, the man under Jesus, right? But if you don't clean up your room and submit to your dad, dude, he's going to let you maybe rule over Fifth Ward, okay? And even then, just the back alleys, all right? So, I mean, the point is, we make these analogies, but it's really true because it locks in. I don't believe there's any second. I think once you get there, y'all ever heard what officers training school is? You know, when people wanted to avoid the draft back when I was going, in my days, you joined the out of college so you could become an officer in hopes that you wouldn't be on the front line grunt, you know. The idea is officer training school, there was a certain amount of testing, and then based upon your discipline, your submission, your mental abilities and all these things, they would, when you graduate from office, they would then set you in as a certain level of officer. You understand? A certain authority would be given you based upon your behavior inside the context of the training. That's exactly what the earth is. We're an officer training school. And we're determining whether we're going to be a corporal, a sergeant, a lieutenant, or a general, something like this. Okay, let's go on. Revelation 20, verse 4. He's going to rule the universe, and I really believe it's the universe, not just this earth, the regent kings. And right now, you're determining, right now in this life, your place of rulership. Revelation 20, verse 4, and I saw thrones and they that sat on the thrones, and judgment was given to them. And we won't go any further than that. In other words, he's going to give the authority of rulership, not just himself, but to his co-regents. We're told many places that we are actually going to rule over angels. Right now, the angelic rules under the Son of God. Okay. But at some point, we're going to rule, when we're all, you know, we've come into our own, and the bride of Christ has been married to the master, and somehow we're going to be over the angelic, and we will literally rule the angelic. Paul says that in 1 Corinthians 5. He says, don't you know we're going to rule angels one day? Yeah, exactly. There'll be nothing, no judge in the sense of right or wrong, but it'll be direction or authority or, I'm not quite sure, but I do know right now there's a degree of authority we have over the angelic or with the angelic in ministry. In deliverance, that a lot of times when we execute the authority of Jesus Christ, the angelic do what we say in Jesus' name. There's a whole line of argument out there in deliverance circles whether we have the authority to command angels. And there's a big discussion on both sides that some believe that in this dispensation we have the authority to command angels under Jesus Christ to do things. Me, myself, and I'm uncomfortable with that. I go to Jesus, I say, Lord, would you have the angels of that? I'm not going to argue one way or the other. I just personally feel more comfortable asking, in this dispensation, asking Jesus, Lord, send an angel. You know, send an angel to do this and that. But anyway, let's close this up. Guys, I'm talking about the millennial government. We've talked about the blessing of the millennium. In closing, let's talk about the end of the millennium reign. Okay, 1,000 years have gone by. Listen, all free moral agents must be tested. Everybody's got to be tested. And at the end of the millennial reign, those that were born during the millennial reign, understand, people will be born during the reign of the mortals. They're all going to have to face a decision of choice whether or not they're going to follow Jesus. Now, it'll be different then. Here's by faith, there's by sight. He literally will be there physically in Jerusalem. And yet there are going to be some people that still don't want to follow him. You say, well, how could that be? Well, they didn't want to follow him when he was physically here before, right? So they're physically going to rebel against him. So there's a possible scenario of the millennial rebellion. Let me show you this real quick. There will be a rebellion at the end of the millennial reign. Multitudes, as many as the sand by the seashore, millions and millions of people will rebel against Jesus Christ ruling in Jerusalem during the millennial reign. I really believe the demons are going to pent up and bound, and this rebellion inert will be fomented, and that's why Satan is loosed at the end of the 1,000 years. It's almost to go back, and because that finally the demons, it comes out and manifests itself in open rebellion because the demonic is finally loosed for a short season. There was a reason he loosed the demonic, was to test men to see what choice they'd make. And let me give you a couple of verses to conclude. Judges 2, verse 7, shows you a scenario of the millennial rebellion. Judges 2, 7 says, the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua had seen all the works of the Lord. Okay, then verse 10, he says, but there rose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor the works which he'd done in Israel, and the children of Israel did evil and served Balaam, and they forsook the Lord. So that's a type. There will be a generation that will be born in the millennial reign that will reject the rule of Messiah, even though their elders had gone into the millennial reign knowing that Jesus was Lord. Another is Zechariah 14:16, a scenario of the millennial rebellion at the end of the reign. Draw this so close. It says, and it'll come to pass that everyone that's left of all the nations which came into Jerusalem shall go from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Did you know the Feast of Tabernacles will be the feast? Not Christmas or Easter or Thanksgiving. It's going to be the Feast of Tabernacles, okay? When you have to go to Jerusalem and worship the King. And it'll be that whoever will not come up, there's going to be people who don't want to come and observe the feast. To worship the King, the Lord of hosts, upon them will be no rain. He'll just send a drought in their country. And if the family of Egypt doesn't go up, they'll have no rain. Boy, nails Egypt. And the plague wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen. I mean, look, and this will be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all the nations that don't come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. So you can already see the beginning of the rebellion. Isaiah 65:20. Let's see. There he says, there'll be no more thence an infant of days nor an old man that's not filled with days, for the child will die 100 years old. So there will be early death. And Revelation 20, verse 7. This is the verse that describes the rebellion clearly. Revelation 20, verse 7. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan will be loosed out of his prison. And he'll go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is the sand of the sea. Isn't that interesting? All over the planet, as many as the sand of the sea, men will follow Satan after 1,000 years of Jesus reigning in this perfect peace. And they'll go out to deceive the nations, in verse 9, and they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the cities and the beloved of the saints, the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city. Now, here, look, this is fascinating. Apparently, there's going to be a city that the saints will be in, okay, ruling from. Again, this is one of the arguments that the new heavens and new earth haven't come yet. The heavenly Jerusalem hasn't come yet. And they're sitting in the city. On the side of the north. I don't know. But somehow, these deluded millions of people are going to come around that city, finally, with maybe their own crowbars, you know, and they're going to finally have had it with this dictatorship of Jesus, this rule. They can't sin. They can't do their own thing. They've had it. Rebellion comes. They're going to, you know, storm the castle and bring down this autocratic rule of this theocratic God. Because why? The demons have been loosed to foment this rebellion. And look what happens. And the fire of God came down out of heaven and devoured them. And at that point, after the fire comes down, that's it. The very next verse talks about the great white throne. God says, that's it. Everyone that had a choice, every free moral agent had a choice to obey God, to submit to God, even those born during the millennial reign. Unfortunately, the majority will probably go to the devil. So the great white throne judgment takes place. That's Revelation 20, verse 11 to 15. I won't read it. And then we see, in conclusion, the new heavens and the new earth. New Jerusalem apparently replaced the sun in close proximity to the earth. Listen to these verses. There's a scripture that talks about a supernova. Y'all know what a supernova is, like a sun exploding? Isaiah 30, 26 said the light of the sun will be seven times. It'll cleanse the earth. 2 Peter 3:10, he says, the elements will melt with a fervent heat when the new heavens and the new earth come. Jerusalem will rise in the morning. For all eternity, earth will be inhabited, and the saints will commute, I believe, between there and the new Jerusalem, a city home and a country home. And so the last verse, Revelation 21:22, to conclude, describing, I believe, the new heavens and the new earth subsequent to the millennium. And I saw no temple there, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple. And the city had no need of the sun or the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God lightened it, and the Lamb is the light. And the nations of us save will walk in the light of it, the kings of the earth, and bring their glory. And the gates of it will not be shut by day or night, and they'll bring their honor and glory to the nations, from the nations thereof. And there'll be in no wise enter anything filthy, or whatsoever works abomination, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Praise God. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the word. I thank you this was just a taste, a highlight, just touching on some of the truths, Father, you've given us of this kingdom to come, this your will, where your will be done, where heaven will be on this planet. Lord, people don't realize, the scripture's clear, that your kingdom will be on this earth, Jesus. Lord, you long to come and rule, literally, physically, where every knee will bow on this planet to Jesus Christ, and every tongue. And Lord, that you will rule and we will see peace and justice among the nations. Lord, even as the Bible closed it, even so come, Lord Jesus. Lord, we pray, come, come, bring your kingdom on this earth, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the promises of Scripture that we have nothing but a blessed hope to come. Lord, help us to live our lives in this way, Lord, that the taste of the kingdom, the first fruits of the kingdom, can be manifest in this church in our lives. And everybody said, amen. Thank y'all. Praise God.